Radio Prague News.
Outgoing Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has rejected the possibility of early elections as a way out of the current political deadlock. Almost 90 of some 450 Czech soldiers serving in KFOR have departed on a six-month mission in Kosovo. A U.S. film has won the Crystal Globe at the 41st Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. Outgoing Social Democrat Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has ruled out early elections as a way out of the political stalemate that followed results of the general election last month. Mr. Paroubek made the statement in an interview for the Czech Sunday paper Nedělní svět, stressing that in his view, all five parliamentary parties, including the communists, should have a say in negotiating the next government's program. In Mr. Paroubek's view, concessions need to be made on all sides. The Civic Democratic Party, which won last month's election and agreed on a center-right coalition with the Christian Democrats and the Greens, has been trying to negotiate a deal with the opposition to support the coalition in a confidence vote. But so far, without success, the proposed coalition is one mandate short of the needed majority. Rivals, the Social Democrats, have instead renewed calls for a caretaker government. Almost 90 of some 450 Czech soldiers serving in the NATO-led international force KFOR have departed for a six-month mission in Kosovo. They are to be joined by the rest of their colleagues by the end of the month. The latest soldiers are part of the 9th contingent and will be responsible for continuing to maintain peace and order, as well as conducting searches for illegal weapons, munitions, and drugs. The Czech Army has taken part in peacekeeping in Kosovo since 1999. Yearly Czech military operations abroad, including hotspots in Iraq and Afghanistan, cost some 1.5 billion crowns. That's the equivalent of around 68 million U.S. dollars. A film by U.S. director Lori Collier has won the Crystal Globe. That's the main prize at the 41st Karlovy Vary International Film Festival. Titled Sherry Baby, it is said to be the story of a former drug addict who attempts to establish contact with her daughter following time in jail. The Best Actress Award went to Maggie Gyllenhaal for the same film. The actress is known to Czech audiences for performances in films like Secretary and Adaptation. Also in Karlovy Vary, two films, Beauty in Trouble by Czech director Jan Hřebejk and the Bulgarian film Christmas Tree Upside Down by filmmakers Ivan Herkelov and Vasil Zhivkor, received the special jury prize. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news. You're listening to Radio Prague. I'm Rob Cameron, wishing you a very pleasant Sunday wherever you're listening around the world. And let's look ahead to what we've got in store for you for the next half hour. First up, it's Jan Wellinger and Linda Mastelich with this week's Mailbox. That's followed by this week's Letter from Prague, brought to you by Christy Ironside. And rounding off the programme is our regular music programme Encore with David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson. So, with no further ado, let's start now with all your comments on our programmes. It's time for Mailbox.
Welcome to Mailbox. Last week's edition was dedicated to Radio Prague's annual competition, and that's why our monthly contest had to wait for another week. But today we're going to reveal the correct answers and announce the names of the four lucky winners which we drew out of a hat.
In June, we asked you to find the connection between the dollar, a currency used in 24 countries of the world, and the Czech Republic. Most of the answers were correct as usual, so let's hear some of the quotes. Rami Hoffman listens to Radio Prague in Freiburg, Germany.
The currency name dollar comes from the old currency, Thaler, which was the official currency of the Holy Roman Empire of German nations from the middle of the 16th century until around 1750. As people discovered, the great silver deposits in the town Joachimstal, or Jachimov, in the Czech lands, most of the thalers were made in Joachimstal, so it became known as Joachimstaler, and later only as Thaler. The Thaler got spread all over Europe in many variants, Kronenthaler in the Austrian Netherlands, or Maria Theresienstaler in Austria, Until the middle of the 20th century, it was even a trade currency in Ethiopia and the Arab lands. So the American word dollar derives from the word taler. And this taler started its career in the Czech lands, which is part of today's Czech Republic.
And Louisa Bunce is from Cary in North Carolina.
My grandfather was born in Novi Yachimov in 1866, and I'm aware that silver was found there in the early 16th century. Yachimov, formerly Joachimstal, was owned by the von Schlick family. They minted the Joachimstaler, giving the name to the taler, hence the dollar. I so enjoy the familiarity of radio.cz and the wonders of Prague and the Czech Republic. And Harry T. Klugel from the U.S. sent us this answer.
Geographic indicators are often used to identify origins of words. A Czech town, Sankt Joachimstal, now called Yachimov, had silver mines. During the Holy Roman Empire, these mines provided talers. These were coins of silver. The word taler has evolved into the more modern word dollar. Yachimov is in Bohemia. So, the dollar originated in the Czech Republic.
And Radiant Didla listens to us in Lithuania.
There is a major connection between the dollar and the Czech Republic. The history of the dollar is a story involving many countries in different continents. The word dollar is much older than the American unit of currency. It is an anglicized form of taler, the name given to coins first minted in 1519 from locally mined silver in Joachimstal, now Yachimov in Bohemia. Taler is the shortened form of the term by which the coin was originally known, Joachimstaler. So, we can say that dollars started in the Czech Republic almost 500 years ago.
And Hans Werner Lolik from Denmark sends us the correct answer and added,
the name is related to the tolar in Bohemia, dalder in Netherlands, and dollar in Sweden, Denmark, and Norway. In my home country, Denmark, we do not have a dollar for more than 130 years. But among people, the two-crown coin is still called a dollar.
Mike Talbot from the Isle of Man had this to say.
Whilst the American colonies were still under British rule, the English pounds, shillings, and pence coinage were in short supply. The Spanish peso, together with the Portuguese real 8-piece, were readily available and became accepted as legal tender. They became known as talers. Both coins were almost identical in weight and quality to the taler. The Scandinavian countries, together with the Netherlands, also used coins identical in weight and size as the Czech taler, but known as dollars. New York was initially settled by the Dutch and called New Amsterdam. Their currency was dollars. The taler name in time became corrupted to dollar, and it stayed that way. In 1792, the newly independent United States of America opted to abandon the English pound and adopted the dollar as its official currency. The Spanish peso, or taler, continued to be legal currency until 1857, by which time the U.S. government had acquired enough silver and gold to produce their own currency.
And Colin Law from New Zealand added a footnote.
By the middle of the 16th century, silver mining had almost ceased in Sankt Joachimstal because the value of the metal dropped with the discovery of silver in the New World. However, the mines had always contained a shiny black mineral nicknamed Pechblende, pitchblende, from which scientists eventually extracted a new element named uranium. But that's another story.
And David Eldridge from England had a similar note.
The mines of Yachimov also have another claim to fame, since it was with ore from those mines that Marie Curie first managed to separate radium and polonium, the first discovered radioactive elements.
And Mary Lou Krennick from Texas, USA, had a chance to visit the mines in Yachimov. This is what she writes. This is one piece of trivia that did not come as a surprise to me. I remembered the trip to the town of the silver mine in the 1990s. They have some of the first taler coins on display in the museum. The professors from Charles University, who took us there, are quite brilliant in planning the field trips to places such as Yachimov in order for the students to experience another great contribution of the Czech Republic to the civilization of mankind. The history of the dollar is quite an interesting story.
And Mary Lou Krennick is also the winner of our main prize this month. The other three lucky ones are Radiant Didla, Mike Talbot, and Rami Hoffman. Congratulations, and your prizes are on their way.
And those of you who haven't been lucky this time can try again.
If you follow Radio Prague regularly, you'll find this question quite easy. We'd like you to tell us the name of a Czech-born American anthropologist who was one of the first scientists to pronounce a theory that all humans are the descendants of one common ancestor.
You have until the end of the month to send us your answers to Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, Czech Republic, or much quicker to english@radio.cz.
And thanks there to Jan Wellinger and Linda Mastilij for that edition of Mailbox. Now, without further ado, it's time for this week's Letter from Prague, and that was brought to you by Christy Ironside.
Coffee is just one of those things that North Americans and Europeans will never agree on. Both claim to be the originators of contemporary coffee culture. Europe has been importing it and serving it in its cafes since the 16th century. However, it was probably the mass coffee shop chains of North America that made the activity of going out for coffee a part of the everyman's daily routine and a form of entertainment as commonplace as going to the movies. The only thing that both cultures do agree on, it seems, is that coffee is delicious. Being a self-proclaimed coffee addict, one of the first missions I gave myself upon arriving in the Czech Republic was to find the best cup of coffee this country has to offer. I wasn't disappointed. There are plenty of excellent places to meet for coffee in Prague, or to just enjoy a quiet afternoon people-watching or reading a good book while sipping a cappuccino. But I must admit that coffee culture in Prague takes some getting used to as a North American. As John Travolta's character in Pulp Fiction says, it's the little differences. The first striking difference is the relative absence of takeaway coffee, although you will occasionally see signs advertising coffee to go, or sosobo, literally with you. Coffee in Prague is generally a sit-down affair, something you indulge in during your free time. You won't see long lines out the door of the coffee shop as people are headed to work, unable to start their day without a jolt of caffeine. If it's a pick-me-up you are in need of first thing in the morning, it's provided by the vending machine down the hall in most offices and workplaces. The next visible difference is the size. I've heard more than one Czech scoff at the buckets of coffee North Americans guzzle on a daily basis. While most North Americans would grumble about the thimble-sized cups of espresso that are standard fare here. It's probably better for my digestive system in the long run, but sometimes even a triple espresso isn't enough to satisfy me after years of grandes and ventis, medium and large, for those not accustomed to Starbucks speak. The ordering process is a completely different affair also. A regular coffee, let alone a double-double, won't mean much to the average barista here, since filtered coffee is a rare breed to begin with. If you are the kind of coffee drinker who likes to add milk, as I am, remember to order it separately, since it's usually not included and a condiment truck is nowhere to be found. And always, always clearly specify that you want to take your coffee to go if the option is available, unless you want to make a sworn enemy of the server who has unnecessarily dirtied a cup. The best rule of thumb is to keep it simple. No Kafkaesque orders along the lines of, I'll have a medium half-calf, half-decaf, non-fat latte, extra hot, and a large cup with a shot of mocha. Cafe employees should be thankful that the phenomenon of idiosyncratic coffee modifications hasn't reached Prague yet. But there are signs that coffee culture is changing in the Czech capital, even if the traditional sit-down cafe isn't going out of style anytime soon. The few Western-style coffee shops with their flavored coffees and oversized paper cups are certainly more appealing to foreign tourists than natives, but I have seen the odd Czech strolling down the street with a latte in tow. It's hard to say who has the right idea. While I must admit that I do love the freedom to pick up a coffee on my way from point A to point B, it is nice every now and then to really belabor the experience. Not to mention, it pains me to think of the millions of paper cups and plastic lids that are thrown away each day across North America. Maybe both cultures have something to learn from one another after all.
Christy Ironside there with this week's Letter from Prague. Well, it's time now for me to hand over the reins to David Vaughan and Patricia Goodson for this week's Encore.
Welcome to Encore. I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan, and that's a rather beguiling piece of music to start the program. What is it?
Well, it was the opening movement of Radek Rejsek's Eight Windows of the Loreto Spire. It was a pretty recent composition, and it refers to the exquisite late Baroque bell tower of the Loreto Shrine in Prague.
Which I believe dates back to the 1600s, doesn't it?
Yes, and it's still very much played today, the carillon, that is. In fact, one of the main players is Mr. Reshek, who plays a short concert almost every week on the bells way up high in the bell tower, and he also performs there on the organ.
Sounds rather like Quasimodo, doesn't it?
Well, he's fortunately nothing like Quasimodo. He's quite a nice fellow.
And I see that in the liner notes he writes, and I quote, "The spire is for me a sanctuary and oasis of peace, where I can escape from the daily rush and from the less pleasant things that the world sometimes brings, the world below. Each of the 8 windows overlooks an important place, which I have taken as an extra musical subject for each of my 8 miniatures."
And the one we began with today is called The West Window, Chernin Palace. So let's listen now to the 5th piece, which is the southeast window, or Petchin. Petchin being the lovely wooded hillside park on the city's left bank.
That was Kateřina Englichová, one of the Czech Republic's best-known harpists, and Jana Neubauerová on the flute, with Radek Rejšek's Petřín from his suite 8 Windows of the Loreto Spire.
Well, let's turn now to another composer whose work was influenced by a bell tower, Bohuslav Martinů, who was born in and grew up in the top of just such a tower in the Moravian village of Polička. His father was a cobbler, but also the fire warden, and so the family lived in a room at the top of the tower in the town. And the room is now a museum, and it's a wonderful place to visit if you're ever in Moravia. And we're going to listen to some pieces which possibly were composed in that tower in Christmas of 1920, when Martinů was finishing up a teaching stint there.
So these are pretty early pieces, mm-hmm. and they're called Butterflies and Birds of Paradise, and not really very typical Martinů.
Well, that's true. There are early works, like you said, and at that time he was consciously copying Claude Debussy, the French composer. Debussy was Martinu's idol, and he made a very successful copy of Debussy's style, and they're very, very lovely pieces and not very well known. So let's listen now to part of the first one, which is called Butterflies in Flowers. Well, that's really gorgeous, and I hate to end it prematurely, but we have to, unfortunately. The pianist was Paul Kaspar, who was a Czech fellow living in Germany, and this is a new recording, which is the second installment in Mr. Kaspar's planned recordings of the complete piano works of Martinu. This is on the Tudor label, and the disc contains all three books of Martinu's etudes and polkas, and the set of Borova dances, in addition to Butterflies and Birds of Paradise.
And it is a beautiful piece, but it would also be fun to compare it with a work written by Martinu after he'd found his own far more distinctive voice.
Well, the etudes and polkas were written a good 25 years later, and in fact they were written at Cape Cod in the U.S., and they certainly fit the bill as far as his genuine style. They're all wonderful, but let's listen to the etude in F major, which is the third piece in the third book of the etudes and polkas.
Pianist Paul Kaspar with the Etude in F by Bohuslav Martinu. And that really is quite a different style from the impressionistic Butterflies and Flowers that we heard earlier.
It sure is. It's wonderful, I think.
And I'm sorry that we don't have more time today. We would like to hear from you. So if you'd like to get in touch, do contact us, as always, at English Section, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. Or you can send us an email to english@radio.cz. And if you enjoyed this program, you can hear it again on our website. That's at www.radio.cz. And you can also pick up details of the CDs that we've been talking about.
And we'll leave you today with more Martinu, with the seventh and last Borova dance, which is named after a village near to Martinu's native Polička. But for now, for all of us at Encore, I'm Patricia Goodson.
And I'm David Vaughan.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. six heures vingt-sept, Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 7345, 9415. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.